Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Back to Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and the question of the Sabbath day, and how that applies to Christians today. I hope this isn't tedious for any of you, but it is vitally important to some of you, and perhaps to many of you. Now, the text says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon, or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ." And, of course, the big question about that word Sabbaths in the text is, does this apply to the Old Testament weekly Sabbath required by God and included in the Ten Commandments? Or does it apply only to other Sabbath days, such as the annual feast days and the new moon celebration, the new moon recognition on the first day of each month, which was also called a Sabbath? And really, your response to that pretty much depends upon what your position is in regard to the Christian Sabbath overall. And if, independently of this text, you've come to the conclusion that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath and ought to be considered the Christian Sabbath, it ought to be considered a continuation of the Old Testament Sabbath, except for the change of the day, then you pretty much have to take the position that Colossians 2:16 does not refer to the weekly Sabbath. Because we're told here, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. If, however, you've come to the opposite conclusion, that though Christians are to assemble on the Lord's Day, and it is a special day, but it is not the same thing. It's not a continuation of the Old Testament weekly Sabbath. It is something new and ought to be considered something new. Then you probably come to the conclusion that the word Sabbaths in our text in Colossians 2:16 refers to the weekly Sabbath of the Old Testament, the Mosaic weekly Sabbath. Well, that's the big question, and I've been trying to work through this in some kind of a logical way, and we will continue doing that as we gather together around the Word of God on this Thursday, July 21. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks for those whose financial gifts help support this ministry. Now, let me show you what a dilemma this can pose among God-fearing people. And I have in front of me the two documents that our church has adopted as our doctrinal statements. The first one that I'm going to read from, we have one that is an official one and one that is an auxiliary one. And one of the reasons why the auxiliary one is auxiliary is exactly because of this treatment of the Sabbath day. And our auxiliary doctrinal statement, which we state we agree with substantially, we agree with most of what this document says, and it is the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689. And here's what it says regarding the Sabbath. And I'm only reading part of this. There's about three pages here, and you don't want me to read all of that, but I'm picking out the relevant parts. From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, the Sabbath was the last day of the week. But when Christ's resurrection took place, it was changed to the first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day. It is to be continued to the world's end as the Christian Sabbath, the observance of the seventh day being abolished. Men keep the Sabbath holy to the Lord when, having duly prepared their hearts and settled their mundane affairs beforehand, for the sake of the Lord's command, they set aside all works, words, and thoughts that pertain to their worldly employment and recreations, and devote the whole of the Lord's Day to the public and private exercises of God's worship and to duties of necessity and mercy. So you can understand that this confession of faith basically says the weekly Sabbath from the Old Testament continues in the New Testament, except the day has changed. But other than that, it is to be observed pretty much the same way. And the way it is to be observed is spelled out in this statement. Now, let me say this. I'm jumping perhaps to my conclusion ahead of time, but let me say I like that statement. I like that way of observing the Lord's Day. I think it is highly advantageous to our souls. I think that's the way people ought to observe the Lord's Day. That's the way I want to observe the Lord's Day. This is the way I want our church people to observe the Lord's Day, but I say that would be my preference, that would be my recommendation for the good of your soul, but here's the question. Can we mandate that on the basis of Scripture and say, this is what God requires you to do? That's the whole question. And with my understanding of Colossians 2:16, the answer is no. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath, because, as I've already explained earlier on a previous broadcast, I can't get away from the impression, from the conclusion that the word Sabbaths in that text refers to the weekly Sabbaths. Because the other Sabbaths, the annual feast days and the new moons, are listed separately. So it seems to me like it's saying, don't let anybody judge you in regard to annual feast days, new moon religious observances, and weekly Sabbaths. That's the way I understand the text. It doesn't say weekly, but the fact that it lists the other two seems to me that that's what it must be saying. And if that's so, then it is not legitimate for me or anyone else to say, God requires you to observe the first day of the week as a Christian Sabbath, and it's basically the same thing as the Old Testament seventh-day Sabbath. Remember the seventh day to keep it holy. But, as I already said, I think that's the way Christians ought to observe it. I recommend it highly. I could give you an example of other things that fall into the same category. I would recommend that you not spend too much time watching television. There are a lot of reasons for it, and I won't go into all of them now. I can recommend that. I would recommend that you don't allow your children to watch a great deal of television. But can I say to you, this is what the Scripture mandates, this is what God requires, this is what you must do, and let me spell it out for you exactly how you are to observe that and how much is too much and how many hours are safe and so forth. I can't do that. The Scripture doesn't allow me to do that, and I think we've got the same thing here. Now, here is the other statement, which is our official statement of faith, and it is a minor revision of the New Hampshire Baptist Confession of Faith of 1833. And we did reword slightly the statement on the Lord's Day, and here's what we said, and this is our official position as a church. We believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. the day appointed for the regular assemblies of the church. We believe that Christians should meet with the church on the Lord's Day for public worship, fellowship, instruction, and observance of the ordinances, and that it should be utilized to cultivate personal spiritual growth and a testimony before the world. Now, you say, that sounds very similar to the other one, and it does. It's not hugely different, it's only slightly different, but the whole difference is that what is required by Scripture is that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If we do that, if we regularly forsake the assembly of the saints, we obviously are sinning. We are violating what the Bible tells us not to do. Furthermore, the pattern of Scripture is clear that the New Testament believers establish the first day of the week as their primary day of assembly. And I don't have time to go through all of that now, but the Scripture is abundantly clear that that was the day that every Christian, every church that you can find any information about in the New Testament, considered to be the day of worship, the day of public meeting, the day of public assembly. It was the first day because Christ rose from the dead on the first day. So, if number one, the Scripture indicates, not by commandment, but by information, by historical documentation, that Christians establish the first day as the day of Christian worship, then I think it is wise if we follow that same practice. And if the Scriptures tell us that we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that occurs on the first day of the week, then obedient Christians are going to make church attendance the main responsibility, the main activity, maybe I should say, of the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. They recognize that there is such a thing as the Lord's Day, and the Lord's Day, though in one sense every day is the Lord's Day, but there is a special day that is called the Lord's Day, and it's the first day of the week. And the first day of the week is the Lord's Day in a way that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are not. But Sunday is. That's the Lord's Day. And the primary activity of the Lord's Day is to assemble together with the people of God to make sure that you are not forsaking the assembly of the saints on that day. And furthermore, because many people in this world, even if they're not Christians, recognize that Sunday is a day of Christian worship, it does become a matter of testimony. So there is that aspect that if you're going to have a good testimony before your neighbors, they need to know that you are attending church on the Lord's Day. And it is highly advisable and advantageous if you will take advantage of that day as a day that you don't have to work, and also make it a day for Bible reading and so forth. Catch up on some things in the area of spiritual input that you find difficult through the week. Perhaps not everybody does, but particularly if you're not if you happen to be retired or you're not employed or so forth, it's not so difficult for you. But most people have busy schedules, and even though many people try to have a daily time with the Lord, it often gets crowded out, and the Lord's Day is usually a day when you're free from some of those things. So take advantage of that. But to say, to fail to do that in any regard is a violation of one of the Ten Commandments, is a serious abrogation of God's requirement and law, it seems to me goes against the wording of our text in Colossians 2:16, and I think we need to be careful about that. So until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.